Worship committee met 3 weeks ago or something like that, and we talked about songs, and I don't remember whether it was Debbie or Tiffany once said, that would be the perfect song for that message. It really is. Things happen in our lives, day in and day out, and we have questions. And the big question that we all have is, why? Why? I've been reading a couple books, and one of them was talking about the church he grew up in, and I thought about that. And I grew up in the Church of Nazarene, very conservative church, a good church, it's a strong denomination. But they never answered the questions I had. And I had a lot of questions growing up. I've had a lot of questions since I've grown up. To be honest with you, that really hasn't changed. Maybe they didn't have the answer. Maybe there weren't any answers for my questions. But I believe they didn't have the answer. I remember hearing sermon after sermon, Sunday morning after Sunday morning, repent or go to hell. Repent or go to hell. There's some truth to that. 52 Sundays? I got it about the third one. Why didn't they tell me heaven was a desirable place to go and somewhere I wanted to go? But they told me why I didn't want to go to hell. Because it was not a desirable place to go. Once I was asked to leave the denomination and finally realized in attending other churches there was so much more out there. There were questions. I still had questions. But no answers. I realized that life contained choices. Many choices. Many different paths that we can take as we go down the road. And I also understood two words that became very, I think, vivid in my mind and in my heart was spiritual battlefield. Too many times we have been told and we have been taught, and it annoys me that when we become a Christian, everything is fine. That's when the battle begins. Because Satan has no battle when we're his. And so I found out that there was that spiritual warfare going on between God and Satan for me and for those that I knew. And I realized that some people make it a playground. Some people make it a battlefield or a battleground. And so I came to realize that we can be victorious in the battle. And we can win the battle and we can overcome. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about certain things and some different things. Today we're going to take a look at that idea of questions. Questions I never had answered. How do I deal with a question that's not answered? Ooh, that's a tough one. There is a solution. There is an answer, and David gives us that answer. But we're going to talk about heaven. We're going to talk about hell. We're going to talk about Satan, actually next week. We're going to talk about angels and the fact that we have angels watching over us. But you know something about angels? You can also stop their work in your life. What? Oh, yeah. Disbelief will end their work. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about strongholds in our lives. What are some of those things that have just attached themselves to us and then we can't overcome it? Then we're going to talk about the battle and the weapons that we have that we battle with. I'm going to touch on some other thoughts. And if you miss a message, I would encourage you to go to www.rossumc.org and hear the service, hear the message, because these all tie together. Our lives are a battlefield. Satan's not an easy foe to defeat. He's not alone. When he fell, he took a third of the angels with him. So he has a lot of help to pester you and to pester me. And alone, there's no way that we can defeat him. But together, as a believer, as a church, and remember when Jesus said, "Where I am, where two or more are gathered," well, he's one and we're two. And so with that, we can defeat and dominate anyone. We can overcome anything. We can defeat any power, any principality, anything that tries to penetrate your body, your soul, and your spirit. And when I say body, I mean Satan's trying to make us sick. He's trying to give us stuff. We don't have to take it. He's trying to infiltrate our mind with some of the garbage that we see on TV, some of the billboards that we see, some of the people that we talk to. And then when he does that, he's got our spirit. But as we said a few weeks ago, we all are born with the mind of God, the mind of Jesus within us. We all have that spirit. So let's take a look at some of those questions. And I mentioned earlier, and this is, you know, one of the things that's personal to me. It's personal to others here, I know. But I had that why question. August the 29th, 1993. Missouri Highway Patrol called and said, "Your son's been killed." I had that question. Why? Why not me? And I thought over those times, you know, he was a pretty good kid. He didn't get in any trouble. Oh, he TP'd a girl's house. Him and a bunch of his friends. When I was out of town, I got home. Cindy told me the police had picked him up. But it was harmless. Other than it was our toilet paper. But he never did anything serious, never did anything wrong. I was upset that his life had been stolen. That's just not right. I also didn't understand why my parents had to die 30 days apart. I prayed. Hoped, wished, thought. This doesn't have to happen. But it did. Their life was stolen 30 days apart. Did I have questions? Yep. Do you have questions? Yep. I was talking to Karen this morning and we were talking about this song. Andre Crouch song. Verse 3 says, through it all, I thank God for the mountains. And I thank him for the valleys. It's tough. I thank him for the storms he brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know how God could solve him. I never knew what faith in God can do. And we're going to do that as a special sometime during this series, and I don't know when, but I have an idea. Excuse me. But the one thing that he showed me through this whole process was to how to better understand grief and how to deal with people that are going through it. And I shared this Thursday morning at our lay pastor class. And if there's one thing you get out of something like that, it's worth the price you paid. And we now have 5 people that have went through our lay pastor training that understand better people with addictions and people that have gone through grief and people that have lost things in their lives. And I am thankful that Roger and Phil and Tim and Carol and Wayne went through that, because it helps us all better understand what happened. I was asking those questions. I know God probably had a pretty good idea I was going to be asking them. You know, why this? Why now? Why not me? You know, I follow all this. Why did it happen? I've done the best that I can. But I'm confident that anybody that's went through tough times has done exactly the same thing. And I don't think God minds us asking, because we're in that opportunity. We're talking to him. I had a degree in theology. I attended a Christian college. I went to seminary. I pastored a church. I lived the life the best that I could, and so why? Why did it have to happen? Questions. As I said, I started attending church at an early age, around the age of 6, and all the messages I ever heard was messages about hell, few on heaven, none about why, none about life is a spiritual warfare, nothing about a battlefield. The battle, let me tell you, is worth the fighting. Sometimes we may not think it is, but the battle is worth the fighting because it's worth the winning. I had the idea that everything would be fine, but I was really confused. College never taught me how to deal with the loss of a child. Maybe it should have. I'm not sure they had the answers. I'm not sure I have the answers. Here are some modern-day statistics that I heard, and it no longer made me question this. George Barna is a research organization, and they said most Christians do not believe that Satan or the Holy Spirit exists today. I just got these statistics this week. According to Barna, 6 out of 10 Christians in the United States believe that Satan is not a real entity, rather just a symbol of evil. In addition to that, tens of millions of American Christians believe Jesus Christ sinned while he was on the earth. Oh, that was a classic question in college. Could Jesus sin? You know what? 4 years of college, they could never answer that question. But he didn't. And I don't think he could have, because the Bible says that God did not know sin and Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I don't think he knew sin. It said even more than that, believe the Holy Spirit to be a real... that don't believe that the Holy Spirit to be a real living entity. Rather, like Satan, most Christians in America believe the Holy Spirit to simply be a symbol of God's power. Most people, this is Larry, this is not George Barna. believe that because they don't read and they don't study and they don't attempt to find that and find the real answers and don't attempt to be an overcomer. But Barna goes on to say it's not that American Christians don't have a high view of Scripture. According to Barna, a slight majority of Christians, 55%, strongly believe that the Bible is accurate in all principles it teaches. Another 18% agreeing somewhat. About 1 in 5 disagree strongly or somewhat with the statement, and 5% aren't sure what they believe. Pretty damning statistics when you really take a look at it. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, as though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapon of our warfare are not the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. And in Philippians, he called those that worshiped with him and those that followed Jesus and his friends, he called them fellow warriors. So he's saying here in two different places, both in Corinthians and in Philippians, that it is a battle because these are fellow worshipers. And I read a story this week in a devotional. I thought it was interesting. This guy was talking about when he'd mow his grass, he had this blower. And he said when he would start it up, he said it would rattle, said it emitted some nasty fumes. It sputtered along and could hardly run, and his wife told him it was extremely noisy. But he said it never bothered the old dog as she lay there unless he got a little too close to her when he was blowing something in her direction. But sometimes the guy down the street mowed his grass. He had a similar type blower. And when he would start up the blower, they had to put the dog in the house because the dog would bark at it, would snarl at the guy that was using it. And he come to find out that the guy had teased the dog years ago with a blower. And so the dog had really no use for that blower or really the guy that was mowing the grass. And as I thought about it, the point of that whole thing is this. The circumstances are the same, but the hands that used the blower were different. The hands that we are in are different. Same's true with us, tough circumstances. If we trust the hands that control the universe, we will understand that God is wise, God is compassionate, and God is understanding to our questions. Throughout life, I have found that there are forces that want to fight against me, want to fight against what I stand for, want to fight against the good and evil, and I've had questions. Why? What's wrong with this, God? Can't you just take this out of my life? I don't really need this. But then nothing that we have that comes easy is worth having. John said in chapter 9, you remember the story, he was passing by and he saw a blind man. And his disciples questioned him, said, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither one of them. He said he was born blind that the works of the Father might be displayed in his healing. And so he goes on, and after he had said those things, it says in verse 6, he spit on the ground, made some mud from the saliva, and spread the mud on the eyes. And he told him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he left, washed, and came back seeing. Why was he born blind? Disciples didn't know. The man probably didn't know. They asked the question and Jesus answered the question. Verse 8 says, his neighbors and those who formerly had seen him as a beggar said, isn't this the man who sat begging? Some said, he's the one. No, others were saying, but he looks like him. Doubters. Therefore, they ask him, then how were your eyes opened? And he tells them what happened, goes through the whole thing. And his final statement was, so when I went and washed, I received my sight. And what happened was that he had more than just physical healing. And you say, well, but that's what God did. God touched his life. But if you go on and read that, it said that his eyes were opened to so much more. God didn't just physically heal him. He spiritually healed him. It's what we find out when we read, when we study, when we open our eyes, when we have questions. But sometimes when we ask questions, the answers are so much more unimportant when we understand who controls the answer. In 2 Samuel 12, we read about King David's admission of guilt when he was confronted by Nathan. And Nathan went to him, and even though David was forgiven for the sin that he had committed with Bathsheba, there was still consequence for that sin, and it fell on the son that was conceived between him and Bathsheba. And the Bible says that he fell on his face and said he fasted and prayed to the Lord both day and night for his son's healing. In spite of all this, in spite of all these prayers, the baby died. We have a video clip that I'm going to ask Olivia to show you to give you some idea of how some people react to that.
What are you doing now?
I was having a tantrum.
Oh. Well, don't get your clothes all dirty.
Sheriff?
Yes, sir, you the boy's father?
That's right, Simon Winkler.
Andy Taylor.
Now then, what's this all about?
249A, section Roman numeral 5. Passenger carrying wheeled vehicle making passage and or transcending area designated for pedestrian traffic only. Suspect duly warned, flaunted said warning, and ignoring same repeated offense within a 24-hour period.
All right, so he rode his bike on the sidewalk.
I was there, Mr. Winkler. Arnold was given a warning and continued to ride his bicycle on the sidewalk.
The offense was clearly defined under normal weather conditions.
There was plenty of room. I wasn't hurting anybody.
People are coming in and out of stores on Main Street every minute. You never know when somebody's going to walk right out in front of you.
Everybody's against me.
There, son.
Get him out of the little fight.
Now you see what you've done. You got the boy all upset. Was it such a crime? Seems to me you people would have more important things to do than go around frightening children.
Now look here, Mr. Winkler. Arnold was warned and continued to ride his bicycle on the sidewalk. Now, we're going to impound that bicycle. He learns to use it according to regulation.
Oh, for heaven's sake, sir, can't you see this is a very sensitive child? Obviously, you don't understand it. Arnold's a good boy. You just don't understand it.
Oh, I think I understand it.
He's a good boy, really. A little high-spirited, perhaps, but weren't we all at his age?
I wasn't.
That's exactly how some people act when they don't get their way. But the Bible goes on to say that David, this is 2 Samuel 12, you might want to read it this week, but it goes on to say David got up, washed, changed his clothing, went into the house of the Lord to worship. His actions teach us a lot about trust in whose life those hands are holding. Sometimes we think we know better. A lot of times I think I know better. But I have to trust the hands that are holding me. So no matter what it takes, we all need to allow Jesus to take the wheel. Take it from my hands. No matter what the question. Because I can't do this on my own. And we can't. I'm letting go. So give me one more chance. Save me from this road I'm on. Jesus, take the wheel. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day that You again have given to us. Thankful for Your blessings in our lives. And Lord, help us to turn the wheel over. Help us to understand that when the answer doesn't come that we want, or the answer doesn't come that we think we should get, that I understand who has my future and my life in His hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.